You can spend $50,000 making your backyard look like a luxury resort, and a slight breeze or a 10-minute rain shower will just render it completely useless.
Oh, absolutely. It happens all the time.
Right, like you've got the beautiful pavers, the plush outdoor furniture, the landscaping is perfectly dialed in. You step out on a Saturday afternoon with a cold drink, ready to relax, and you immediately have to turn around and go back inside.
Yeah, because the afternoon sun is blinding or the heat is just radiating off the stone like a frying pan.
Or the mosquito pressure is unbearable. So today, we are looking at the end of the traditional patio.
It really is the ultimate outdoor living paradox. I mean, we see homeowners invest massive amounts of capital into these stunning outdoor spaces that, well, due to the whims of the weather, they can realistically only use for about 10% of the year.
Right. So, welcome to this deep dive. I am your host, and today we are taking a highly engineered exploration into modern outdoor living.
And I'm thrilled to be here. We are definitely bypassing all the lifestyle influencer fluff today.
Exactly. We are looking at this through the measured, authoritative lens of an estate contractor.
Which is a much needed perspective shift, honestly. If you are going to manipulate your environment, you really need to understand the structural realities of what you are building.
Yeah, and we have a dense stack of sources today. We are talking architectural design manuals, structural building codes governing wind and water loads, and deep material science specifications.
Real heavy lifting.
Right. Our mission. We are deconstructing the modern aluminum pergola. Okay, let's unpack this because the structures being installed on high-end estates today are light years away from the high-maintenance, cracking wooden trellises your neighbor put up 15 years ago.
Oh, without a doubt. We are no longer talking about a static shade structure. We are talking about engineered bioclimatic environments.
Bioclimatic, I love that word.
It is a great word. And if you are looking at genuinely enhancing a property, understanding the verifiable material science behind these systems is absolutely crucial before you even think about breaking ground.
So, to understand why modern pergolas are built the way they are, I think we first have to look at why the industry had to evolve in the first place, right?
Yeah, we have to examine the systemic failure of traditional building materials in outdoor environments.
Like cedar, redwood, pressure-treated lumber.
The classics.
All right.
But fundamentally flawed for this specific application. When you put a traditional wood pergola outside, it is immediately subjected to just an onslaught of environmental degradation.
Right, you've got moisture cycling, UV radiation,
Yeah,
rot.
insect infestation, yeah.
The moisture cycling seems to be the real killer in the sources, especially in freeze-thaw climates or high humidity.
It is. Think about the cellular structure of wood, like a bundle of microscopic straws.
There, Tross.
Right, because wood is organic and porous, it naturally absorbs moisture from the ambient air or rain, and as it fills those microscopic straws, the material swells.
And then the sun comes out, right?
Exactly. The sun comes out, the moisture evaporates, and the wood shrinks.
So it is just constantly expanding and contracting.
Yes, and in freeze-thaw climates, it gets much worse. That absorbed water turns to ice. Because water expands when it freezes, it literally acts like a wedge.
Oh, wow. Tearing it apart from the inside.
Literally tearing the cellular walls of the wood apart from the inside out. Without heavy, continuous maintenance, sanding, sealing, staining a wood pergola in a harsh climate begins experiencing structural failure within a decade.
See, I'm listening to this breakdown of wood structural failure, and I can't help but feel like we are tuning the backyard into a sterile machine.
How do you mean?
Well, people love wood because it feels warm and alive, that organic charm. Are homeowners just sacrificing that nostalgic beauty so they don't have to restain their deck? I
Yeah.
mean, replacing redwood with extruded architectural aluminum sounds like we're building a commercial aircraft chassis in the backyard.
What's fascinating here is that the aircraft analogy is actually perfectly accurate.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The industry standard for these modern pergolas relies on 6000 series aluminum alloys, specifically materials like 6061T6 and 6005AT5.
Okay, that sounds intense.
These are the exact same high-strength alloys utilized in aerospace and automotive engineering.
So they are incredibly strong, but also very light.
Exactly. They are alloyed with magnesium and silicon, which grants them a massive strength-to-weight ratio. But addressing your concern about aesthetics, you aren't sacrificing beauty.
You aren't.
No, you are trading a rustic look that inevitably deteriorates for a permanent, crisp architectural finish. Aluminum is completely immune to rot, warping, cracking, and termites.
Yeah.
And the aesthetic finish is where the material science really bridges the gap between industrial strength and luxury design.
Yeah, the sources go incredibly deep into the powder coatings used on these structures. There are two standards mentioned constantly, AMA 2604 and AMA 2605.
Those are rigorous performance standards set by the fenestration industry.
Fenestration being like windows and doors, right?
Exactly. If you want a finish that survives a multi-decade lifespan without fading or chalking, you know, that white powdery residue you see on cheap old lawn furniture.
Oh yeah, where it get all over your clothes.
Right. To avoid that, you look for AAAM A2605. To meet that standard, the coating requires a minimum of 70% PVDF resin.
Okay, so the sources mention PVDF resin, but break down the actual chemistry for us. Why does a specific resin stop paint from fading in the sun?
It comes down to bond energy at the molecular level. PVDF stands for polyvinylidene fluoride.
Polyvinylidene fluoride, got it.
The carbon-fluorine bonds within that resin are among the strongest chemical bonds found in organic chemistry.
Okay.
So ultraviolet light from the sun arrives as photons carrying a specific amount of energy. When those UV photons hit standard paint, they carry enough energy to break the chemical bonds of the pigment.
And that causes the fading and chalking.
Exactly. But the carbon-fluorine bond in PVDF is so incredibly strong that the UV photons literally do not possess enough energy to break it.
That is wild.
It is. The coating remains completely stable. It retains its gloss and color year after year, even in brutal high-altitude sun.
So aluminum gives us incredible rigidity, and the PVDF coating stops the sun from destroying it. But from what I'm reading, the fact that aluminum doesn't warp or twist like wood is what allows the pergola to fundamentally change its purpose.
Right, because it stays dimensionally perfect.
Yeah. It transitions from a static shade structure into a dynamic motorized machine.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's talk about the bioclimatic engine.
Ah, yes. The term bioclimatic just means the structure is specifically engineered to regulate its own microclimate by interacting dynamically with the environment.
Which it does primarily through a motorized louvered roof. We aren't just talking about fixed slats angled at 45 degrees anymore.
Far from it. The roof plane consists of extruded aluminum louvers that pivot on an axis.
Okay.
With a push of a button, an integrated linear actuator rotates those blades. You can open them completely, giving you maximum vertical ventilation and a clear view of the sky.
Right.
Or you can angle them to block the direct sun while still allowing the breeze to flow through.
And when a sudden summer downpour hits. The actuator rotates the louvers into a fully closed interlocking position. They compress against weather stripping to form a completely watertight seal. The outdoor room underneath remains perfectly dry.
See, here is where my head started spinning while reading the engineering specs. If I have a 20 by 20 foot solid roof suddenly catching a heavy rainstorm, that is a massive volume of water to displace.
It is a ton of water, yes.
When I look at the diagrams of the posts, I kept thinking of them as a Trojan horse.
Tell me more about that connection.
Well, on the outside, it just looks like a sleek, simple architectural column. But hidden inside these extrusions is an incredibly complex plumbing network.
Right. The extrusions are completely hollow by design.
Like pipes.
Essentially, yes. They act as an integrated, invisible gutter system. When the louvers close, they are pitched slightly to channel the rainwater into a perimeter gutter that is hidden entirely inside the horizontal beams.
Oh.
From there, gravity pulls the water down through internal passages inside those vertical posts, completely out of sight, until it exits safely at the grade level.
Honestly, this sounds like a maintenance nightmare waiting to happen. What happens when a bunch of wet oak leaves or a pine cone jams up that Trojan horse post?
Oh.
And beyond that, aren't there wires in there for the roof motors? Mixing a hidden waterfall with electrical wiring inside a metal column sounds like a massive fire hazard.
Those are the exact challenges structural engineers had to solve.
Okay.
First, regarding the debris, the top perimeter gutters are typically fitted with integrated leaf guards. And the internal dimensions of those posts aren't arbitrary.
They are calculated.
Highly calculated. They are strictly sized according to IPC 2021 plumbing codes governing storm drainage to ensure they can handle the velocity of a 100-year hourly rainfall event for that specific geographic location without backing up.
Wow. A 100-year rainfall event and the electricity issue.
Internal compartmentalization. The aluminum extrusions are manufactured with separate, isolated internal chambers.
Oh, so they never touch.
Right. Water flows down one specific cavity while the wiring runs through a completely separate, permanently dry conduit channel. The electrical code is incredibly strict about this.
That makes sense.
Furthermore, any integrated lighting is typically low voltage, usually under 30 volts, and everything from the linear actuators to the control boxes is routed to outdoor-rated, weather-sealed enclosures.
Because it's not just lights and motors either. The sources detail motorized zip screens coming down the sides on track channels, and even integrated gas heaters.
Integrating infrared gas heaters adds an entirely new layer of regulatory complexity.
I would imagine so.
You have to route the gas piping securely through the structure, ensure specific non-combustible clearances, and install accessible manual shutoff valves in the exact same outdoor space as the appliance, you know, governed by IFGC 2021 codes.
So you are essentially dealing with the regulatory requirements of a standalone commercial building.
You really are.
Which leads perfectly into the next massive hurdle. We've built this motorized roof, but turning it into a solid, watertight surface when those louvers close introduces completely new structural demands. A dynamic roof has to survive the absolute wrath of local climates.
This raises an important question, though. How do you anchor a structure that is simultaneously very light, but also capable of catching a tremendous amount of wind?
Because aluminum has such a low dead load, right?
Yeah.
Design manuals note it only weighs about 3 to 8 pounds per square foot.
Exactly.
So when I was reading this, my immediate thought was the sail effect. If those louvers are closed tight during a severe coastal thunderstorm, wouldn't the wind catch that roof like a giant parachute and just rip the deck straight out of the ground?
It absolutely would if the physics weren't accounted for. Wind uplift is the most significant structural threat these systems face.
More than gravity pressing down.
Much more so than the weight of the pergola itself. As wind rushes over that flat closed roof, it creates a severe aerodynamic vacuum effect.
Based on Bernoulli's principle, right?
Yes. And that vacuum actively tries to pull the entire structure upward into the sky. Look at ASCE 722 codes. They are entirely focused on this.
So how do you stop your luxury patio from taking flight?
Through a combination of automated defense and sheer structural mass at the foundation. Mechanically, premium bioclimatic systems integrate automated anemometers, which are basically just weather sensors.
Okay, so it reads the wind.
Yes. If the wind speed approaches the structure's engineered operational limit, the system's brain overrides the user controls and forces the louvers open.
It actively breaks the sail.
Exactly. It breaks the sail, allowing the wind to pass harmlessly through the open blades.
That is brilliant. It senses the danger and actively defends itself.
It is a critical failsafe. But even with open blades, the post bases must be heavily anchored. You cannot simply use lag screws to attach a bioclimatic pergola to a standard wooden deck board. The footings must be engineered to resist massive uplift forces. This often requires digging deep, reinforced concrete piers and using heavy-duty epoxy or cast-in-place anchor rods to bolt the aluminum post bases directly to the earth. Like, per ACI 318-19 standards.
And reading through the climate variations, the engineering profiles demand completely different approaches depending on where you live. Let's look at a high-altitude climate first, somewhere like the mountains of Colorado.
Up there, the UV intensity at altitude acts like a laser beam, which makes that AMA 2605 PVDF powder coat absolutely mandatory.
Right, to stop the chalking.
Exactly. But your primary structural enemy up there becomes snow load. When those louvers are closed, they have to support the flat roof weight of a blizzard.
That is incredibly heavy.
And if the pergola is attached to the side of a two-story house, the engineers also have to calculate for snowdrift, where wind piles massive mounds of snow onto one specific section of the aluminum roof.
Then you completely flip the script and look at coastal humidity, places like Florida or the Gulf Coast.
Coastal environments are classified as highly corrosive zones due to the salt air. The ambient chlorides constantly attack building materials.
But wait, earlier you said aluminum doesn't rust.
It doesn't rust like iron or steel, meaning it doesn't oxidize into that red flaky material. But in a highly saline environment, ISO 9223 C4 or C5 environments, you face a different phenomenon called galvanic corrosion.
Walk us through how that works.
It happens when you have dissimilar metals in contact with each other in the presence of an electrolyte.
Okay.
If you use a standard steel bolt to attach an aluminum beam and salt water settles on that joint, you are basically building a wet battery.
A wet battery.
Right. The salt water acts as the electrolyte. The aluminum acts as an anode and literally sacrifices its own electrons to the steel.
So it eats itself.
The aluminum will rapidly pit and corrode away around that fastener, eventually leading to structural failure.
That sounds like a silent killer for these structures.
Which is why the material science dictates the absolute necessity of using Type 316 stainless steel for all fasteners in coastal environments.
Because it's different than regular steel.
Yes. Type 316 contains molybdenum, which drastically increases its resistance to chloride pitting, breaking that galvanic reaction. Homeowners in these zones are also required to perform regular fresh water rinsing to wash away accumulating salt deposits.
And if you are building in a hurricane zone like Miami-Dade County, the regulations go even further. They require NOA testing, a notice of acceptance.
Oh, yes. That testing is brutal.
I read they subject these pergolas to brutal seafloor pressure testing and literal missile impact tests. They fire lumber out of cannons at the extrusions to ensure they don't shatter and become deadly shrapnel in a Category 5 storm.
The lab testing is exhaustive. They endure thousands of positive and negative pressure cycles to prove their fatigue resistance. However, here is a crucial caveat we must emphasize to you, the listener.
Yeah.
While the material science of 6000 series aluminum and the physics of wind loads are universal, all matters of permitting, required frost depth for footings, property setback limits, and specific wind ratings must be deferred to your local AHJ.
The authority having jurisdiction.
Exactly.
So regardless of what an engineering manual says, your local building department has the final say on what goes in your backyard.
Unquestionably. Code enforcement varies wildly from county to county, and bypassing local authorities is a guaranteed path to a stop work order.
So we've gone deep into the molecular structure of PVDF resins, the fluid dynamics of internal gutters, and the physics of wind uplift. But all this rigorous material science ultimately serves a distinctly human purpose, doesn't it?
It really does.
It's about customizing the outdoor footprint to serve an exact homeowner lifestyle and integrating flawlessly with the estate's existing layout.
The commercial-grade engineering is simply the invisible foundation that enables luxury lifestyle.
Looking at the design profiles and the sources, there are a few distinct homeowner categories driving this market. First, families extending their usable space.
For a family, a bioclimatic pergola is often utilized as a deck extension to create functional year-round square footage. The critical feature in this application is the integration of those motorized zip screens on all four open sides.
Because having a solid roof is fantastic, but if the autumn wind is howling or the summer mosquitoes are swarming, the space is still fundamentally unusable.
Right. By lowering those heavy-duty mesh screens, you eliminate the intense insect pressure. But you also create a windbreak that retains ambient temperature.
It keeps it warm.
It allows a family to turn a breezy, chilly, shoulder season evening into a comfortable, near-indoor dining experience.
Then you have the profile I'll call the entertainer. This is the homeowner focused on building the ultimate outdoor kitchen and hosting space.
Which presents an entirely different set of logistical challenges. Outdoor kitchens involve massive masonry countertops.
Right.
You are introducing thousands of pounds of stone and concrete block dead loads onto a patio footprint, which requires separate foundation calculations.
Not to mention the heat. Heavy-duty outdoor grills generate a massive thermal plume. I'd imagine trapping that heat under an aluminum roof is a bad idea.
Yeah, it can be disastrous. If you have a static solid roof over a commercial grade grill, the trapped heat can eventually degrade the powder coating and completely fry those integrated low voltage electronics we discussed earlier.
Right, the wiring.
With a bioclimatic system, the homeowner can strategically open the louvers directly above the cooking zone. You vent that intense thermal plume straight up into the atmosphere, protecting the structure's integrity while maintaining a sheltered environment for the chef and guests.
Finally, we have the estate owner profile. For them, the priority seems to be absolute architectural cohesion.
When you are dealing with a multi-million dollar estate, an auxiliary structure cannot look like an afterthought you bought from a catalog. It has to look native to the primary architecture.
How do they achieve that?
Well, that involves custom color matching the pergola's powder coat to the home's exact fascia trim. It means seamlessly integrating the structural post spaces below the level of the paver patio so the homeowner never sees any exposed anchor hardware.
I was also reading about the span capabilities. Widening the distance between the posts seems to be a major priority for luxury builds.
Yes. By utilizing ultra-high-strength aluminum variants, like the 6082 T6 alloy, structural engineers can push the spans between vertical posts up to 16 feet in certain conditions.
16 feet of open space without a middle post blocking the view. That's huge.
It is all about preserving unbroken sight lines across the property. When you combine those massive open spans with frameless glass railings along a deck, it ensures the surrounding landscape, whether it's a mountain range or a coastline, remains the unobstructed focal point.
So what does this all mean? I have to admit, hearing about aerodynamic vacuum forces, galvanic corrosion, and deep concrete piers makes treating a backyard build like a commercial engineering project sound a bit intimidating.
I can see that, yeah.
How do homeowners reconcile the rigid constraints of zoning and building codes with this desire for a luxurious resort-style aesthetic?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's not about balancing engineering and luxury as opposing forces. The rigid engineering is exactly what guarantees the luxury aesthetic survives over time.
It's the foundation of it.
Exactly. Without calculating the wind load physics, your beautiful structure twists and warps during a storm. Without strictly adhering to the plumbing drainage codes, your resort-style patio floods. The commercial-grade engineering is the absolute prerequisite for creating a space that actually remains luxurious a decade from now.
The science is what actually protects the investment.
It is the only thing that protects the investment.
So, to bring this all home for you listening, if you are looking to genuinely enhance your property's footprint, the shift from a static wooden trellis to a dynamic aluminum bioclimatic system is one of the highest ROI structural improvements available today. But only, and this is a critical distinction, provided it is anchored in verifiable engineering, not just compelling aesthetics.
True luxury isn't just about how a space looks on the day the installation crew leaves. It's about having absolute on-demand control over your environment, regardless of what the weather is doing, for decades to come.
Which leaves me with a final thought for you to chew on. We've just spent this entire deep dive deconstructing outdoor shade structures that are essentially smart motorized microclimates.
They really are.
They are equipped with automated weather sensors, integrated utilities, and mechanical defense systems. So if our backyards are becoming this highly engineered and responsive to the environment, how long will it be until the exterior architecture of our homes actually becomes more technologically advanced than the interior?
That is a fascinating point.
Think about that next time you step out onto a sweltering, unusable patio.
It might just be time for an architectural upgrade.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. See you next time.